This is Jason.
This is Chad.
And this is
Please Pass the Bacon.
Right?
And
bacon and passing it, please. Bacon and passing it, please. Song.
Podcast.
Yeah. The crowd goes wild.
We're back.
Hey, it's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been a while, but we're back. And welcome to Please Pass the Bacon.
Bacon.
Dun-dun-dun. So, Chad, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for having me back onto our set. That's your studio at your place.
Yes, yes, thanks. Thanks for having me here at my house. And, well, let's catch up a little bit. What's been new? Actually, before, we needed to put this early in the segment, right?
We do.
We decided we are going to, if you are watching the YouTube version of this podcast, we have a little tiny pig hidden somewhere on the set.
We do. And if you're able to spot it, screenshot it, identify where,
email it to us at
pleasepassthebaconpodcast@gmail.com.
And the first one that gets that pig right circled and sent to us will get a little bit of a swag.
Yeah.
Not a swag bag with a bunch of stuff, but maybe a t-shirt or...
I would probably think a t-shirt.
Okay. A Please Pass the Bacon t-shirt just for you.
Yeah, just for listening and finding the pic. I picture like someone screenshot it and they got like a red, you know, the red circle around it and they're arrowing it. Like right here, guys,
exciting.
Here's the little pig.
So exciting.
Oh my gosh.
Oof.
Can't wait to wear my Please Pass the Bacon podcast shirt.
Big stuff with the silhouette of our bald and whatever that hair is going on there.
Yeah.
So you've got some exciting things going on with
my goodness.
You.
I do have a few things going on.
Tell me about it. I
okay.
know one of them is author related.
It is author related. I have finished writing my first adult fiction book and submitted it to the publisher.
Okay, and let's be clear.
Yes.
Not
adult fiction.
But adult fiction.
let's say fiction for adults. Is that...
Yes.
There's no ambiguity.
You didn't write an adult book.
No, it's not... It's just my
Some
other two books were for
children's books.
So these are for grown-ups.
Or young adults. It wasn't really children's books. They're young adults, correct?
Right, right. A children book,
you're thinking short. A couple sentences a page.
Right.
Yeah, you had a chapter book.
Hundreds of pages. Lots of words.
Developed characters and all this good stuff.
So yeah, this is my first shot at a cop story. This is about an officer that gets ambushed and killed and yet vows to find... and get revenge on his killer.
So you're saying he investigates, even though he's been killed, he investigates his own death.
That's pretty much what's going
okay.
on in that
well,
one.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that it makes its way through the publisher's
that would be great.
Doors and makes its way to a shelf, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you've also had, what, a book signing recently?
We just did a book signing at one of my favorite restaurants for Mystery Muffin and Soda Pop Sleuth.
That was Amalfi's?
The Ghost of Cripplers Creek.
Oh, right.
I love Amalfi's.
Oh, so good.
Margarita pizza.
I remember going to Amalfi's when I was in college a very long time ago. That's the first time I ever had white pizza was at Amalfi's.
Yeah, I love their margarita pizza. So if you're in Charlotte and you want a really good margarita pizza and very delicious Italian food, hit up Amalfi's.
Amalfi's right across from the campus of UNC Charlotte.
UNCC.
That's right.
Oh. I just looked at my notes. So we had the book signing, right? And we also had, you know, we have the Bacon response team.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, big news there. Sergeant, our oldest, just turned one. He is officially certified therapy animal. We got a certification and his badge.
I see every day and I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
High five. Good job.
So yeah, we're excited about that. And we actually just took the pigs out to Cotswold Farmers Market yesterday and had a great time with some great people. A bunch of kids love to see the pigs and me or Wooby.
Probably the pigs.
Wooby and the pigs.
Probably
but
the pigs.
We had fun there. And this probably a couple weeks ago, we had the pigs out in like a little cage, you know, so they can...
Like a little fenced in area.
Right. And we looked out at them. They were there. A few moments later, we looked out again.
And
they
were
not there. So we had to run around the little area around our house to try to find the pigs. Frankie came back right away. Wilby shook some tortilla chip bags, and he starts yelling back.
Sarge over here. Snuggles, not
Sergeant.
So much.
Sarge was exploring.
Okay.
So, but long story, yeah, we found them. They were fine. Good. They're just grounded.
Okay. Good.
So.
All right. All right.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on with me, and.
Nothing with me. About the only thing with me is I've recently gotten a new phone, and I just find myself doing bizarre things because it's facial recognition.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah, like if I QT the other day, I'm going to use it, and I find myself like, I was like, so I've got a few credit cards on the Apple Pay part, right? Okay. So you use Apple Pay. I'm used to the thumbprint.
That's what I have.
So that's what you, yeah. So you approve it with a thumbprint.
So but yours is, it proves it with your face.
Yeah, with your face. And I find myself, like, if it's not the right, I don't know that it's going to pull up the one card I want to use for that transaction. So I find myself, like, I get it up to the near field communication thing to pay, and I, like, duck it. I, like, duck out of
you're
the way.
You're not going to get a facial recognition
from
me.
This on the wrong card. Ha-ha. And so then I'll get the right card, and then when it does want to do the facial recognition, I make so if you're just listening to this, I like stick my neck out and make my eyes bigger. So it's like I pick up the phone and it's like I don't trust that it's going to know it's me.
It's Siri.
Like
it's
I'm
really
trying to
me.
Convince the phone that it's me. So I'm like I like this.
Now, did you do that? You know, I don't have this feature on my phone. So when you set up the facial recognition, do you take a still shot or is it?
No, I think it's kind of like the thumbprint. You do it from different angles and stuff. I don't even really remember. To tell you the truth.
Right, you're getting older.
I know.
But so there's initial setup, but you still feel the need to stick.
To like make my eyes bigger and stick my neck out like that's going to actually make me look more like me. So anyway, that's about as exciting as my life is.
Well, I mean,
right now.
I would disagree with that. You've been busy as can be. And you've always got a lot going on.
But it's been so long since our last podcast that I mm-hmm. will say all those things have passed. Things have settled down the past week. We went camping last weekend. Phenomenal. And I will say this, didn't talk about this, but I got a backpack. It's not even a backpack, but I got this...
kid pack?
I call it a kid pack, but it's a little different. Most of them, it's like a backpack, and then you can stick a kid in there. But it's like the kid, it's like your back... The kid, the backpack's behind the child. So it's really bulky and there's a lot to it. And with Jonathan, he's 7, so he's long. He doesn't fit in those anymore. I found a company called Freeloader. So I don't know if it's called My Freeloader or just Freeloader. I bought a backpack from them. It's just a backpack and a little fold down seat.
So he can comfortably sit.
He's basically doing a backpack, like sitting on your back. We call it a backpack. Piggyback. There you go.
Piggyback?
Yeah, it's a piggyback.
I don't like that.
It's like a piggyback backpack.
Piggyback.
As a matter of fact, I think some other ones are called piggyback backpacks, but I didn't do the piggyback backpack. I got the Freeloader backpack, and it's a cooler name.
But is it...
Is it what?
Did it feel...
No, it's just like a backpack. It's got a chest strap. It's got a waist strap that I can put goodies in if I want them.
Goodies?
He sits in this little...
Boom, he's always sneaking candy.
Fold-down seat. And that little fold-down seat, he gets a seat belt across his back, so he's locked and loaded, hiked up to the top of something. This place called Max Patch, which overlooks like mountains of Tennessee and North Carolina, and it's a bald, so there's no trees around you, and you have a 360 view of that whole just mountain range in every direction.
The pictures awesome. You posted were amazing. I
don't even think it did it justice, but it was awesome. And there's no way I could have gotten Jonathan up that hill in a stroller there's not another device that would have worked. So,
well, I'm glad that worked out because that's
they're not a sponsor, but big shout out to the Freeloader that I got for him. My only critique, if it was made out of like carbon fiber or something, because the unit itself without Jonathan in it,
a little heavy?
It's a little heavy. Add Jonathan to it at 7 years old, it's a little heavy. So if I could lighten the load with a lighter, like a
material,
carbon fiber or some type of material, that would make it even
more gooder
than it is now. So,
well, I'm glad that's worked out because every time we talk about going camping, that's something that you have to consider each time. So I'm glad that this time
it was great. It was fantastic.
So, 'cause you're in great shape, but you're still carrying around another human for miles.
In full disclosure, it wasn't for, you know, a multi-mile hike. It was about a 20-minute hike to the top.
Okay. Well, but most of us carrying another person for 20 minutes, is that's a lot of work.
It was great though, because he loved it up there. It's cooler up there. The wind. I couldn't say enough good things about it. So anyway, so you talked a little bit about the pigs, but you didn't talk about how it's been going with the new flooring with the pigs. Like,
so, well, I'm not.
Do they like their room?
They love their room. They love the floor, and Whoopi loves cleaning. Well, I won't say she loves to clean, but when she has to, this new floor has been
so it's
amazing.
Easier.
Much easier. I mean, it's a pet floor, but it's amazing. So much easier to clean than even just what we had in our master bath.
Sweet.
So
sweet. And that was, of course, installed
by Discount Floor Covering. At 6208 Indian Trail, Fairview Road, Indian Trail, 28079. Now, they are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Why am I doing a voice here? And on Saturday, 8 to 12. They're on Facebook at Discount Floor Covering Outlet, Inc. They have wholesale prices, sell and install carpet, tile, hardwood, laminate, and vinyl.
And yes, they give free estimates.
Now I'm done with that voice.
Thank you for being done with that voice.
Thank you, Discount Floor.
So what else is going on? I know we're in the middle of right about the half, close to the halfway point of another season of The Amazing Race, which we are big fans. They're in season 31, but in listening to Phil Kogan's podcast, it sounds like season 32 has already been filmed and wrapped.
So that means
when this season is over, that means it's time for us to yet again, for the third time, we're going to submit our application to be on
the Amazing
Race.
You know what? Something just happened here.
What?
Our third time, season 33.
And if I'm not mistaken, I want to say the 20th anniversary would be season 33. Because I want to say they're at 18 years. So season 32 will come on, let's say, probably year 19, I think. Don't quote me on that, but that would be pretty good. The 20th anniversary, whatever. The 33 episode.
Good.
I think there's every reason in the world to put us on the show. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to peopleize the police for a minute.
All right.
We actually got this from Michelle Bowden in WCNC.com.
She
sent us this story about the little boy in Tallahassee who was lonely.
And called 911.
Called 911 and Officer Joe White responded, and what do you know? Great friends, this little boy and Officer White now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they've had contact since the
relationship has sprung from this. Not that we recommend you call 911 because you're lonely.
Correct.
That's frowned upon. but I just that is a real human side. You know, this officer could have been like, are you kidding me?
Like, hey, can you tell your kid to quit calling 911 and quit misusing 911? Yeah. We're here for emergencies.
Yeah, I'm going to lock you up for misusing 911. We got people out here that need us. And instead, capitalizing on the situation.
Do you know how old the boy was?
Oh, my gosh, I can't remember. I think he was like 7, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know why 8 is in my head. But
he was definitely young and
but
impressionable.
Nonetheless, you know? Officer Joe White to the rescue. And what a good story. What a good memory for that little kid and experience.
And they're posting you know, pictures all over social media. And some news outlets picked it up too. So just, again, cops are people. And that's just a great example.
And thanks to Michelle for shooting us that story.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Well.
Oh, my gosh.
Believe it or not.
Is it time?
It's time. It's time for cop jokes by dads.
By dads that do cop jokes.
Dads that are cops who do jokes that aren't
funny
at all.
But are.
But we're going to do our best today.
It's
weird. I feel like I'm at a different angle today. Like I'm not quite as facing you.
You know, well,
I hope that doesn't affect my presentation.
I'm going to say something here. This is the first time that we are unshaven.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And we're wearing shorts today.
I don't. You can't quite see that. Well, you might be able to, on camera too. You might be able to see that.
Don't look at my knees.
Camera one, you definitely can't see that.
Don't look at my low knee or my high knee.
It's your skinny ankles. Please. Anyway.
Oh, God.
So, who's going to go first? I feel like we should have flipped a coin, but since we don't have a coin, we can't do that. Rock, paper, scissors? Ready?
Rock.
Wait, rock, paper, scissors.
Shoot.
Not rock, paper, scissors. Okay, ready?
Go on shoot.
Yes.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ding, ding, ding. I go first. Or I choose.
Yeah,
I
get you to can choose.
I get to choose. And I think I'm going to choose to go first.
Okay. Did you stretch out your humor bone, your funny bone?
All right, so for the record, the score is zero to zero. No one has even come close because none of the jokes have been even remotely funny.
I find that funnier than any of the jokes we've done.
Okay. Are you ready, Chad?
Jason, I'm ready. Lay it on me, buddy. Come on.
We might even have to loosen the rules a little bit that even a big smile would count. But we'll talk about that later. All right.
Okay, go ahead with your joke.
Chad, why did the officer smell?
Why did the officer smell?
Yes.
Do I get bonus points for knowing the answer?
No.
But why did the officer smell, Jason?
Because he was on duty. Because he was on duty. Duty.
Do you just...
Because he was on duty.
Are you trying to...
Do you see what I did there? Last episode.
Because of poop?
The Oregon...
Because of the
law, the obscure law. You see what I did? I kind of came full circle. Boom, next episode, joke about duty.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Really proud that you tied our episodes together with poop.
All right. And that's a big...
Okay.
All right. Chad.
All right. Jason.
Yes, sir.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Please.
Please who?
Please pass the bacon. Did you hear me? that's a laugh,
okay,
buddy. That was a laugh. I'm going to have to take a point on that one.
I'm going to give you a point on that. That's as close as it's going to get. I am actually pretty impressed because, let's see, right there.
That's a one.
Tick mark for you. Nothing for me. Did you think about that on your own?
I did write that joke. I'd like to thank Chad Webster for writing my joke.
Wow. Good job, Chad.
Thank you, Jason. Oh, a handshake.
Okay.
That was slimy.
Now.
Next. Bacon.
Of course. What is it? Fly. That's going to bother me.
Can someone get this fly out of here? Where's the fly removal team?
Oh, my goodness. We've got a bacon to rate, and I can tell because...
It smells like...
It's. What did I say, and what did my wife say when she came from outside? It smells like
maple.
So, I bet you have... A maple-flavored bacon.
You should be a cop.
Tell me what you got.
I have Oscar Mayer hardwood-smoked maple bourbon.
I didn't see. I didn't see the bourbon.
There was a. It's Evan Williams makes a bourbon.
Okay,
and they have teamed up with Oscar Mayer
They've partnered.
Delicious.
Huh?
They were like, let's together make bacon even better.
Better.
So
not
that's
just
what we're rating
smoked,
today.
Not just maple.
Not
we're
going to
throw bourbon in there.
And some hardwood.
Yes, sir. Okay. Now.
Moving on. On
to an obscure law. And this was your finding.
Yes.
Real law, right?
This is like real California law.
Okay.
And again, this we typically pick a law that just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to us at the time.
Right.
So, Jason. The next time we're in California and we participate in a frog jumping contest, it shall be henceforth illegal to kill the frogs involved in said jumping contest.
So specifically, any person may possess any number of live frogs. They're not limiting you on that. To use in frog jumping contests, but... If such a frog dies or is killed...
Now, can I stop you there?
Yes.
says killed.
I know you can.
So you're killing competition? Is that what that means?
I'm just saying you can murder it. Okay. All right.
I mean, that's serious. If you're like saying, I want my frog to win, I'm going to kill your frog.
It must be destroyed as soon as possible and may not be eaten or otherwise used for any purpose.
Enacted by Stats 1957, comma, CH 456. And this is part of the Fish and Game Code in California, Division 6.
Wow. I don't even want to find out why they had to create this law, not only that you can't eat it, but for any other purpose.
Have you ever had frog legs?
I've not ever had frog legs.
I have not either.
I hear they taste like chicken.
My father-in-law loves to tell my kids when they ask what's for dinner.
Frog legs?
Frog legs on toast. He loves to say that. I've never had frog legs. Here's something I'm wondering about this law. We're having our frog jumping contest.
Yes.
Your frog perishes.
Yes.
We must destroy it as soon as possible. Does that mean there's like is the league there with a frog incinerator?
Well, yeah, I guess it doesn't really explain or give you any direction on what destroying looks like.
But you definitely
can't
eat it.
That could be violent looking, like to destroy it. Like,
I don't. The word destroy is very
like throw it in a blender. What are you gonna do?
Oh, why? What?
I don't know. That's just the first thing that came to mind. So real law.
That is
not,
a real
not one of those
law.
Ones we could debunk, huh?
That was not debunkable. Mm. But if now, is there anyone listening that's ever been a part of a frog jumping contest?
Can't say. I've seen them on TV, movies, whatever. Never knew it was a real thing, a frog jumping contest. I'm sure it is. Sure.
Well, obviously, at some
There's
point
a law.
It was.
Right.
Quit breaking the place. This has become a thing
it's
for you.
Problem,
now. I like
I know.
It. You like that.
Well,
all right.
So enough of obscure laws. Let's talk briefly about some crime prevention tips. And summertime's coming up.
Indeed.
Right around the corner. And we talked about this before the show. I don't know that it's the most common crime in the country, but it has to be one of the top three. Right,
I would think so.
Larceny from auto.
Which means car break-ins.
A car break-in, they take your phone, they take your charger, they take the change in the middle of your console.
Your sweater,
whatever
your laptop,
your
GPS. Your
bag that's empty, that wasn't worth anything, didn't have anything in it, but they broke your window to get to it because they thought it had something in it.
Well, you know what's funny? Sometimes when people report that their car's been broken into, my phone, and I had a bag with $13,000 in it that I was transporting. Can you put that on?
Okay. No, but there are plenty of, I had a Michael Kors watch, my laptop, and I had a phone. I mean, literally, legitimately, thousands of dollars taken in what amounts to what? How long does it take? We've seen them on video over time and time again. Criminal goes down in a car. They let somebody out. They pull on doors until they get an open door. Or if they see something of value, they'll pop the window. But it takes to get in and through and into a car and out of the car 10 seconds, 20 seconds tops.
Oh yeah, I mean that's if you're having to rifle through.
Yeah.
But most of the time, these are happening when they see something.
Right.
So it's an opportunity that they're capitalizing on. Like, oh look, a purse. Oh look, the laptop bag.
Right.
And
so we couldn't agree that it's the most common. There's that fly. There's that fly.
Where's the fly removal team for crying out loud?
We couldn't agree that maybe it was the most common or prevalent crime, but we definitely agreed that it's probably the easiest crime for the community to have an impact on.
Right. We can prevent it by not leaving anything in our vehicles that we don't want to risk losing. I say that all the time.
You can even just say, like, if you don't want your window broken, just take stuff out of your vehicle. Because if there's a bag in there that's not worth anything, there's going to be a perception that there could be something of value
in there.
So take stuff out of the what we would say plain view. If you walk by the car and can see in there, there's something that looks like it could have value, take it out and lock your doors. So locking doors, taking stuff out of your car. If you by chance have to, let's say you've got to make a stop before you get home and you got some bags there, put them in the trunk, at least get them out of sight.
Beforehand.
Have we seen cases where stuff has gotten taken out of a trunk? Yes. So it's still not the best option, but it's better than having it in plain view.
And what we did see for a while was you're going to the gym, you don't want to bring your laptop because you're just coming from work. You don't want to bring your purse. So people were getting to the gym in the parking lot, walking to the trunk and putting it in there. Well, guess what?
Guess who's watching?
You're being cased right now. So that's now they know it's in the trunk and they're going to go get it. So if you can do that at work before you get to the gym, that's going to hopefully cut down
on
that.
And at your home, burn your lights at night. So if you've got driveway floodlights, keep them on. Light is always a good deterrent. It's not going to be a guarantee. But if you've got a light on your vehicle and then two doors down, somebody's got a completely dark driveway, you've probably displaced that crime. You have more of a chance of displacing that crime to the car down the street.
Another thing we've quite frankly are tired of talking about larceny from auto, but since it happens so much, we need to keep talking about it. But a lot of times people at home will leave a spare key to the other car.
Very good point.
And then not only has your car been broken into, but now they can steal your car and or break into that one as well.
So spare key, but also garage door opener.
Yes.
You get into the car, you open the garage, you get in, you close the garage. Now they have access to your house without anybody seeing them. They can kick in that door. They can work on, however long they want to take to get into your home in the complete cover of your garage.
And what I do to combat that is, and a lot of garage door openers have a locking feature that you hold the button down, at least on mine, you hold the button down, it locks the garage door electronically. So if someone outside has, whether it's from in your vehicle or the garage door opener, it will not open until you hold that button down and unlock it. So if you have to park out in the driveway and you do have a garage door opener, get one that has the feature that locks from inside.
Good advice. So, yes. Good deal. All right. Great advice there.
Well, that's one. Wow, a great advice and a point on the joke. I'm on a roll today.
You're killing it today. You are killing it.
Mm. Do you want to talk about something good?
Oh, some good news. Good call on that. And this is something that we are actually going to be involved in, or at least a part of.
Yeah,
we were invited.
Yeah, we were invited to this. It's called Brooklyn Jones Peace Party.
Is that what it is? Brooklyn Jones Peace Party. Awesome.
So that is this. It's a week from today.
Yep.
At Reedy Creek Park. Now this little girl, okay, 2 years ago, she's seven, wants to bring cops and community together. So she says, I want to have a party, and I want the citizens to know that police are good, and I want police to know that citizens are good, and let's do it on my birthday. Let's have a party. Let's make peace.
I guess according to the story, she just had seen some recent crimes in the news, and she just felt like there needed to be a connection there. And for a seven-year-old to recognize that is pretty...
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
And here, another cool part about that is we were at a Circle K. And I was approached by her mom and said, hey, I would love to invite you, Brooklyn, I would love to invite you to this just randomly. And now, as far as I know, she's going to be our next guest on Please Pass the Bacon.
Nice. Okay.
So that would be
cool. Or at least, let's say, a future guest.
A future guest.
Even if it's not the next guest.
Right.
Awesome.
So that will be very fun, and we're looking forward to that party this coming Sunday.
So we're not having a guest on today because we just wanted to touch briefly. We want it to be a shorter episode because we just wanted to touch on, I guess a little follow-up on our last podcast with Rob Tufano. And Rob, Rob obviously knows the media world. He gave us some good feedback and some insight as to why news covers what they cover. And I think we all knew these things. But for somebody who's been in the industry to share with us, it just makes you start to go, hey, okay, so the news is going to put out what we're going to consume, okay? And when I say that, they're not going to put out something that they don't think they're going to get clicks or views because it's
a
business.
You're right. They're a business. And it's a competitive business.
I get it. I'm not going to say the issue I have with it, but the unfortunate thing is, and a lot of times, the news would have to prey on our worst instincts, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like our desire to consume, like to watch the train wreck. Like he just can't look away from the train wreck,
which is a shame.
It is a shame, but
especially when I'm driving on the interstate and everybody's rubbernecking to look at the train wreck.
Well, it's a car accident, the train wreck, whatever it is. It's true. It's I guess the worst in our nature. It's our I guess morbid curiosity in some ways. So we had some talks after that. Like, man, you know, let's use our next podcast to just put out there to people. Why don't we change our viewing habits, our consumption habits when it comes to media?
Well, and we say all the time, if you want good out, put good in. If you eat well, you feel better, you perform better, you know everything is better. And if you're constantly putting in junk into your body, whether it's food or social media, news, whatever, it has a negative impact on us. And then it has a negative impact on the people around you. So I guess that's kind of our challenge, is to take in good.
Our challenge to our listeners, yes. Yeah. Take in good, spread good. Like you said, put good in.
Get good out.
Get good out. Just like Victory Nutrition International.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It's made from premium quality ingredients with science-backed products. It's got tons of clinicals that are peer-reviewed in scientific literature, and it's got products that really work. So that is Victory Nutrition International. Nutrition that gets in. Mm. If you want your Victory Nutrition International, just go to vni.life/Victory Athletics. How was that?
That was great.
A segue.
I like that. And I also like that not only do you say science, but it's also scientific. That it's got to be good.
Yeah,
right?
It's good stuff. I take it. I like it. And I stand by it. So,
something else good.
Well,
it's not good, but it's
not good. But when we talk about,
it was goodly handled.
Okay, so part of the reason why we think if we were as a community or as a society were to change our consumption habits, we could have a positive impact
on what is put out.
Well, on what is put out, so what is put out in the news, but also maybe news media will feel less compelled to put out all these stories about the individuals who are involved in active shooter events. We're not going to make this a political discussion about gun control and how we stop these events from happening in the first place, because that's a very complicated discussion.
You're right. If that was simple, we would have already done it.
Well, we've already legislated murder as being illegal and robbery as being illegal. So
those are some good crime prevention tips. Don't rob and kill people.
It still happens. Yeah. So we're not going to get into that part of it. But one thing that we can all do as consumers, as people in the same community who want to not see people hurt, is when you have something like an active shooter, don't click on an article that ever names a shooter. Don't click on articles that want you to glorify by seeing their manifesto and all these things, because that there is data to suggest that has an influence. These shooters want notoriety.
Right. And they see someone else is like talked about nothing but them for weeks.
Faces and stories and pictures and names and why they did this and why the people that perpetuate these crimes, you can talk about mental illness and all this stuff, but that's evil. That's evil. And you know what? If you're listening to this, share it, tell it, do it, act on it. Don't click on those stories.
Right.
Avoid them. You know, if the news is not going to, if we are not going to consume them, then the news is going to stop putting them out there. And something that we noticed about the recent UNCC active shooter event, we talked about this, like this mm-hmm. week at work, we talked about it. And I made the comment, I was like, I haven't dug a lot, but I haven't seen a lot of stories about the shooter. I don't know his name.
I don't either.
And you made the good point. You said you usually don't have to search.
Right.
You don't have to dig. It's usually in your face everywhere. You know, let me preface this with, I do understand that I'm not naive enough to not know that there were some elements missing from this shooting that could have impacted its coverage. It didn't involve a rifle. It didn't involve some manifesto that was politically motivated. You know what I mean?
Well, there wasn't anything for some of, how do I want to say this, for other gains by putting out this story.
Right. It didn't further, an agenda. Right. But I will say this coverage was all about the victims. This coverage was all about Riley Howell, who, without his heroic actions,
who knows what we
don't know how
at.
Many more physically taking on that shooter basically shook that shooter out of his rampage, and he stopped. So when police made entry and they got to him, the event was done.
Yeah,
there was no active shooting going on at that point.
What's so great about that is, you know, these shooters, they count on putting their victims into the fight or flight,
into the problem solving,
into midbrain.
Absolutely.
And Riley Howell completely flipped the tables on this guy, and then he stopped him, and then police were able to take him into custody.
That's maybe what people don't understand. I spent a good deal of time doing research for active shooter presentations, and I used to give quite a few of them to schools, to churches, to some businesses. Mm-hmm. And when you start doing the research on active shooter events and just stress, what stress does physiologically to the body, it really does shed a lot of light on really even police shootings, any kind of high stress situation. The physiological responses to stress are amazing. So when you talked about going into that midbrain, or you put them in problem-solving mode, they're the ones in control. When you're experiencing that event, I read some military. There was a military study that did kind of they monitored the heart rate. They had them in an office and environment. Then they went from office environment, and they immediately introduced a combat situation. And their resting heart rate, let's say it's at 60, 70, the highest recorded.
And
look up and tell me, and you see what some max heart rates are. The highest recorded that I saw, 220 beats per minute.
Oh,
somewhere in that range.
Well, and if that doesn't tell you that it's so much easier to make a decision at 60 than at...
Well, what it does is it hopefully people will step back and go, whoa, 220 beats per minute. I mean,
that was
the physiological, that was your heartbeat impression. The physiological response is all that blood leaves extremities. It goes to the core, you know, because it's the body saving itself. It's protecting. If it takes a wound, you know, if you get a wound in your limb, then it's not going to bleed out as quickly because that blood is pooling in the center. Eyesight. You hear tunnel vision before?
Tunnel vision's
eyesight,
real.
Boom. Yeah. Tunnel vision is a real thing. You literally, your sight is limited. It's like looking in a tunnel, and your fine motor skills just go away. You know, you could have some degree of stress inoculation training where you can handle that stress better than others, but it doesn't change the fact that it happens in everyone. It happens at different levels. Some might freeze.
But that's not something we can consciously control.
Right.
And I think a lot of people forget that when we look back at news stories, whether they're good or bad, or someone made a mistake, and we're able to say, well, if that happened to me, I would simply do this.
Right.
Well, and that might be true right now.
Right.
But if you're not there and the gun's not in your face,
correct,
you don't know.
You've not been put in that situation. Not a situation similar, but that situation.
There's a song that I can't stop listening to right now by 21 Pilots. Called Ride, and these kids basically, there's a lyric in there that says, you know, I would take a bullet for me, I would take a bullet for you, but I don't see many bullets coming through. Metaphorically, I'm the man, but literally, I don't know what I'd do. And that's a lot of awareness, like saying,
say these things.
Yeah, it's easy to say,
yeah, take a bullet
for
you.
I would jump in front and I would do this and do that, but then
metaphorically.
If it's real life and it's really happening to me and it's not something that I'm sitting on my couch, you know, eating bacon, watching the news, oh, why would they do that?
Right.
Completely different story.
You don't know what you would do, and you know it's very easy to slow a video down. Let's say it's, you know, some shooting. You slow the video down. Oh, look, see right there? Well, you don't. you can't Monday morning quarterback a lot of things until all of the evidence has come out. And that's another thing that we talked about. Yeah, clicking on stories. Don't engage in these discussions about an event that just happened without knowing all of the facts. I think that's irresponsible because I did. There were some radio hosts that started to have discussions about, you know, why wasn't the shooter killed in the UNCC shooting before any evidence, any information had been confirmed about that case. It's important we take a step back and go, you know what? Facebook Live might have this story out there. We might have this person saying this. Let's back up. Let's let the process play out a little bit. Let's trust the process. And let's then decide, were there things done wrong? Are there issues that we can now talk about intelligently without it all being about emotion? Because nobody, I don't care where you lie on any of these issues, no one wants to see someone's life taken.
Well, and that what I think happens is it's almost like if you say something controversial or you stir the pot, you're getting the clicks.
That's right.
And if we don't give them the clicks, they won't have the motivation to say, look at what I'm saying, look at what I said.
Right.
And if it was that easy to just say, oh, this should have happened or this shouldn't have happened, we wouldn't have juries of 12 that take weeks and months to deliberate on something where we're actually getting all the evidence.
Yeah. So when media or talk show hosts have these discussions, in my opinion, prematurely, I understand capitalism. I understand that you're trying to earn a living. Do I think it's irresponsible? I do, to some degree. I think it's irresponsible to start talking about things before you can talk about those events without facts.
Let's be accurate instead of first.
But that's not going to change.
Right. Well,
that's not going to change. But you know what can change? I'm not going to listen. I'm going to turn it off. I'm not going to click on the story because I know that this is still being investigated. And that goes back to what we were saying. Let's from the consumer side,
Affect the supply.
Let's affect some change in how they're going to cover stories, you know?
It's economics. And I never thought about it that way, but it's supply and demand. You know, the more we demand it, the more they're going to give us the supply of bad stuff.
That's right. And just to go back and think about, I was fortunate enough to, when I was on our SWAT team, we got to oversee the training of sworn officers. You know, it wasn't just citizens, it was sworn officers going through active shooter response training. And it just really hits home that, you know, officers get, you know, they're comfortable with guns. They've been around, you know, shooting and training. Every officer has to go through it. So there's some degree of familiarity with firearms and with, you know, being, you know, observant, and you see mistakes made. And you start to understand, like, wow, people really do react to stress differently. But you start to see all the tunnel vision, the lack of fine motor skills, all of these things come into play in a real world situation. And that's also why I would encourage anybody that's listening to this, if you ever have questions about whether it be police involved shootings or active shooter events, how you would react, take the time to do a ride along. Take the time to participate in. Sometimes departments will have FATS machines,
firearm training simulator.
Right. So it's basically like a life size video game where you have to react to certain situations.
Very good.
But those things really change your perspective on things, and I think those types of tools that are out there and opportunities can help the community understand a little bit more what it's like to be in those situations.
Right, and we talked about this before, and you mentioned already Monday morning quarterbacking. Jason, I've never been a quarterback in the NFL. Okay?
Yep.
I never have. And for me to tell a professional quarterback, oh, why did you throw it to that guy? I can clearly see on TV that the DB was right there and it was going to be an interception. So why did you do that? I would have thrown it to this guy because I saw he was wide open. That quarterback doesn't have the whole TV screen like I do. That's why when they go back to the sideline and they're showing the aerial shots, see, this is where this guy was. And if you had done this with this,
There's a lot of factors.
I can't say. I've never been a quarterback. I don't know what it's like to have a linebacker come hit me from behind. You know, I don't have that fear that would affect.
I don't have that perspective. Right. I'm this tall. My linemen are this tall. I can only see when this gap. There's just too many things that you don't know. Too many unknowns.
And I just don't like that we judge these people or what they do.
And we're talking about in the context of, say, a police officer involved shooting or something like that.
Right. Things that happen under stress where there's unfortunate, I don't want to say consequences, but maybe, you know, a bad happening.
Right.
And, you know, in a football game, a bad happening is an interception or interception for a touchdown or something like that.
In our line of work, it's someone could lives.
Be, yeah.
On both ends.
So it is responsible to do some research before just saying, I know what I would do.
And, right. And I don't think even any officer would argue. Then if the facts come in, and then we have questions about why this happened, why we made this decision, then we can learn. It's like an after action review. You know, you learn from that. You talk about what happened, why decisions were made, and how we could make better decisions or different decisions in the future. And
right.
That's how we learn.
And one of the things that I feel like you and I do and a lot of other officers are, we don't make a judgment or we're not critical of, you know, because when we hear about things, we hear about all the information. It doesn't come out in pieces like it does real time. You know what I'm saying? So this happened and this happened. Well, when this decision was made, that piece of information didn't come till later. So it's harder to say someone made a mistake when you're only getting information like they got it.
Right. You know, like
the quarterback.
Let's say the UNCC shooting. Mm-hmm. That shooting, a perfect example. People started to question, you know, why is that guy still alive? He shot multiple people. And what people, and really they haven't even done, there's not a complete release of all the information about the timeline and how things went down and what information was known at what point. But once that's all been out there, then we can have those discussions. But until then, all you were doing is you're making an emotional judgment on a situation that you don't have all of the information.
And
that's never a good way to have a discussion that's going to be productive. When it's all based in emotion and not fact, oftentimes it's just not going to come to a resolution. You're just going to have your point. I'm going to have mine.
And we're going to.
And it's going to clash. And then we're going to go our separate ways. Nobody takes anything from it.
And that makes me think of, listen, we want, you know, as we were talking about not clicking on the bad stuff, let's click on the good stuff. But also, we don't need to jump on the, it doesn't have to be, we don't need to know this second. We don't need to know
instant
that.
Let's gratification,
stop,
yeah.
Let's stop putting that pressure on the media so they don't feel compelled to be first instead of accurate.
Good luck with that one. Instant gratification, this society, this culture.
But my point
I agree.
For that is, we don't, it doesn't matter to our day-to-day lives if we hear about it now or we hear about it tomorrow. Unless it's something that's happening now that could affect us, if it's over and done, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's got it first, how it gets out quickly.
Take the time, step back. This is probably unrealistic, but you know, I wouldn't click on stories until you know that a reasonable amount of time has gone by that they can actually get the whole story to you. But you and I both know,
right.
The news cycle is so short these days.
It's quick.
I mean, it's like 24 hours on to the next thing. Whatever happened 48 hours ago,
done. Old news.
Old news. It's done. So, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is, you know, cover what is known at this point in the story. Don't fill in the blanks with your opinions. And then just do, if you're really concerned about the topic, do your due diligence to keep an eye on it, follow up with it. So when they do release information about exactly how this event happened or this shooting or this, you know, officer shooting, this active shooter, then, you know, dig into it. And again, be responsible enough to put yourself in their shoes. Do a ride along, attend, you know, if your department has some kind of workshops where they will be there to answer questions or explain things, and go there with an open mind, not to just shout down whoever's up there speaking. That's just not productive. That's the fringe people that we don't.
We all want to make speaking this to. A better place.
That's right. Because in the end, nobody, you, me, you know, Joe Citizen, nobody wants to see people hurt.
And I think another thing that we can do is when you are clicking, find your source that you feel is most accurate.
And I would even say find three sources.
Yeah, so let's,
you know what I mean?
let's give those people, that media that is trying to get the truth out there, let's give them the clicks. Let's tune into them.
Mm-hmm.
And that may start getting us, you know, do you see me?
Yeah. I'm like using your hands to kind of create this world.
This may be what we want it to be.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's about it for that.
I think so.
Maybe a little bit of a rant today.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We just
felt compelled to just talk about, like, the bottom line is we want to see if we can, as consumers, impact what's been put out there. You know, because like I said, stories hand over fist about Riley Howell.
You know, one thing we didn't say is that Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department gave his family, this is the first time this has been done, that a civilian received the Medal of Valor from a police department, at least as far as I know.
Yeah.
So his family received
from CMPD.
From CMPD.
Last week? During police week. That's right.
So that's really cool, and I'm glad that they did that, because that is recognizing how brave of a thing that young man did.
Wow. Now, I want to share something with people out there right now, and that is we've got an officer that works for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, and he recently had a son diagnosed with leukemia, who went into remission. Great news there. Within a week of finding out that son was in remission, they found out their littlest,
18 months,
brain tumor, diagnosed with a brain tumor. He recently had surgery to remove that brain tumor. So we're taking this opportunity.
People might know him from,
I was going to say,
the Free Hugs thing.
From the Free Hugs Project. He was the officer. I don't know how big he is.
He's six,
everybody's
six,
big
maybe?
To Chad and I.
Yeah.
But six, no, he's...
I think he's 6'14". He's probably 6'14".
He's 6'14" and 9,000 pounds, I think. He's a big dude. So he has got the Free Hugs Project actually started a GoFundMe. For him and his family. There is going to be a lot of missed work. I want to say part of the treatment has one of the children in there maybe every 2 weeks or 3 weeks
in
the hospital 2 to 3 days. It's going to be a lot. And I can't think of a worse situation for them to have been experiencing the joy of remission and then all of a sudden another child with a tumor.
Right. And it's not like, hey, we're going to go in and get that tumor out and he's good to go.
Right.
Not that simple.
It's going to be continued treatment after that. So with that said, please, we're asking you to help out. The Free Hugs Project started that GoFundMe page. He also has a Venmo account that will go directly to him. We will link these things below.
We will.
The YouTube video. And also, we haven't run it by Officer Frunze yet, but we are going to get him on the Tattered Beans website. So I'm going to reach out to Jason Jean. Let him know, Jason Jean with Tattered Beans, let him know that we're going to get Officer Frunze up there because they really could use all the help they could get.
Right. So if you do go on there, we do get him uploaded. We would appreciate if you clicked on him.
Officer Frunze. So if you like coffee, Tattered Beans is great coffee. On top of that, you can help out Officer Frunze and his family. So three options, the GoFundMe page. You got the Venmo option, and then TatteredBeans.com.
And let me just say this. Officer Frunze, he's asked for one thing.
Prayers.
He has not asked for any money. He has not asked for help in any other way, and I know he won't. That's what tall people do.
Yeah.
No, that's what good people do.
That's right.
He's just asking for prayers, and other people are doing this to help him on his behalf. So
there you go. So, like, again, we'll put those down below so you can take advantage of any of those options. So
I hope that goes well for him.
I do too.
We will definitely
be keeping him in our prayers, that's for sure.
Definitely.
All right. Well, we have now reached, finally.
Yeah, we're at the end of the show. Where, if you are in the Charlotte area and you're looking for a home.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he works for Charlotte Police, right?
That's right.
That wasn't as good a segue as your.
That's fine. Good. We're going to go with it.
But if you are looking for a new home or to sell your home in the Charlotte and surrounding area, check out CarolinaSunshineHomes.com. You don't want a realtor. You want
the realtor.
Contact Krista today, 704-200-1969.
So, speaking of buying and selling homes,
yeah,
that was as good as your segue. It's time for bacon.
That's bacon. Are you excited about testing? Or we don't really test it.
We review it.
We rate the bacon.
There you go.
So again, I don't want to mess this up. So again, Oscar Mayer and Evan Williams combined to make hardwood smoked maple bourbon bacon. The voice is coming back again. I don't know why I want to use a voice when I talk about this bacon.
And I'm not really sure why you would like to use an English voice to introduce bacon. Which is very southern.
It is southern, and it is a pig that is meat, and that is just not right. Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Will you do me a favor, buddy?
Let me guess.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Please pass the bacon.
You got it.
I'm excited for this. It literally, the whole room smelled like maple.
Yes. I noticed it. My wife came in from outside. She noticed it. So, Chad, please.
The neighbors up the street noticed
it. I would like
it.
For you to
take. Are you pointing at one in particular?
No. I just want you to take one so I can put it down.
I'm going
to
take this one right here.
Let me do this. All right. So, is it misophonia?
I think it's misophonia or misophonia.
So we're going to really try to turn our heads because I've noticed it's very chewy. Like when we get to this point, and I think we're losing listeners because if you really, really, really hate the sound of chewing, like you do, I don't care for it. Not as much as you.
I don't want to hurt you. That's my thing. Okay, I'm afraid I might lose control.
So I'm going to really turn away from the mic.
Okay, let's do this.
Are you ready?
Hey, do you want to? I feel like we should cheers this. Cheers. Now he's wrecking the place again. Mm. For our listeners, we're eating the bacon now, away from the microphone.
It's hard to do.
Man. It's just payback for people making me listen to them eat. I mean, it's not our listeners, but...
All right. Mm. Now, I will say, full disclosure, we microwaved it. Sorry. Should I have not said that? So it's not going to be as crunchy as I like it. So I've got to take that out of the mix. I got to set that aside.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that this is bursting with flavor, man. I mean, bursting with flavor.
It's good. Do you want to go? Do you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first since you did the joke first, too? Let's keep it consistent.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and go with... I'm going to have to try to imagine this crispy like I usually like it. And I'm going to give it a 4.25. Yeah, four and a quarter.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm also going to give it a 4.25. I mean,
really?
This is... It's salty. It's mapley. It's bourbony. It's bacon. It's delicious.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Mm. Yeah, I'll go 4.25. You make a note of that?
You got a pen? Where's whoever got the fly out of here? Have them write that down.
Can you write that down, please? 4.25 and 4.25.
Dual 4.25s.
Little do they know that the only other people in this room are nobody.
Well,
two camera, and our
empty
lights.
Empty guest seat.
And an empty guest seat.
Thank you for being here, Chair.
All right. So 4.25 for our bacon review today.
Yeah.
And man, I think that's going to do it for today, Chad.
That really is. And I mean, thank you, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram,
YouTube,
of course. You can check out our video, I guess your video cast of this podcast.
Again, you can contact us on email at pleasepassthebaconpodcast@gmail.com.
And thanks to Reed Reynolds for original music.
You can follow him on Instagram at reed.reynoldsmusic. Anything else?
I think that's going to do it for today, for this episode.
Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you.
And we'll see you next time on
Please
Pass the Bacon. Bacon.
The bacon show is over now. It is now time to stop the show. We don't want to hear him singing because he cannot do it well.